one time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit liftoff.
Good afternoon and welcome to SWAT Radio. It is Wednesday, and I am so glad to have my good friend Jeff with us in the studio today. How you doing?
Hey, Doug, it's good to be here.
Let's get this microphone down there for you. Well, you have actually, this isn't your first time to be with SWAT Radio. You've been with us before, haven't you?
Yeah, at least one of the time. At least one of the time. But I have been a good listener.
You have been a good listener. You're also a member of our SWAT group. And I'm so glad to have you with us today. Brad is still out of town. And Brad will be back hopefully tomorrow, Cody. I hope he's going to be back tomorrow. Tomorrow we have a guest who wrote a book called The Disciple Making Parent. And he's going to be with us tomorrow with Brad, and he'll be calling in, and it'll be a great time for people to listen and get some input, I think, about as parents how we disciple our children. But Jeff Andrews and I we've known each other, what, about 3 years now, possibly?
At least,
yes. Yeah. I remember we did an outreach down there in the St. Augustine area in that little club by the water one time. But, yeah, Jeff has a heart for outreach. He has written a book called Desperate Highway because he was on a desperate highway.
Indeed.
Yeah, and he's going to share a little bit about that with us today. But I'm very glad. Thank you for making time today to be here with us. And thank you for helping be one of our sponsors. Jeff works with Mitel and actually IPC Technologies. Tell us what IPC does. Used to be ShoreTel, now it's Mitel. Tell our listeners, what does IPC do?
We're a global provider for communication services, and at one time we were strictly just IT, data processing, but today communications is just an application. Everybody's using communications today, so we have been very strong in that for the past 20 years.
20 years you've been doing that?
Yes, we have.
Well, that was almost before the internet, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It was almost, right? It was before the internet.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because I think the internet came around in what? Like, was it 99? Well, actually, it was in 2000s, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I don't think. Yeah, it was after that. So, but, well, I'm very grateful that you're one of our sponsors, and we are happy to tell people what you can help them with. We just want to know better what you can help them with. So if I'm out in the world, and I have a need, what need would I come to you with?
Well, if you needed a good communication system, and that would be through some sort of a PBX, whether it's in the cloud or on-premise, we represent Mitel, and Mitel is the largest global communications company in the world. So our own company spans 12 time zones. So we've got customers in 12 time zones right now.
Wow.
So hopefully one of them is listening to me.
Yeah, well, good. Well, again, thank you for being a sponsor. And we're going to talk about your desperate highway, how God brought you to himself, and share a little bit of your story. Even though you've shared on here before, I'd like for our listeners to hear a couple of things that are going on. Stephen Curtis Chapman is going to be down in Gainesville tomorrow night. He's going to be down at this church down there doing it's called the Stephen Curtis Chapman Solo Tour, his spring solo tour. And he's partnered with Show Hope, which is an organization that helps in the area of adoption. And he's going to be at Abundant Grace Community Church, at 12505 Northwest 39th Avenue in Gainesville, Florida. 7:30, doors open at 6:30. And I have two tickets today. Yesterday, Cody, I don't know if you remember, we gave a question out, and we got a call right as we were going off air, and it was a lady named Lisa up in Georgia. And she goes, "Is it too late? Is it too late?" And I said, "No." I said, "You got to tell me the answer to the question." And the question was, there's a king in Second Chronicles that said, "Lord, we don't know where to look, but our eyes, or what to do, but our eyes are on you." And she sent me an email last night that said, "Jumping Jehoshaphat," because that was the king who prayed that prayer. So thanks, Lisa, for listening to SWAT Radio. She has her two tickets, And we have two more tickets today. And here's the thing. Today, to be able to get these two tickets, you're going to have to answer a question as well. And the question that you have to answer today is, in the Old Testament, because I like giving these Old Testament questions. In the Old Testament, there was, let me think, Jeff. I got to think. Oh, should I make this hard or should I make it easy for people?
No, make it easy.
Make it easy. Okay. Cody's saying make it hard. Y'all are putting me in a bad way here. Okay. So in the Old Testament, there was a prison. Well, since you're here and you have experienced prison, I will go. There was a guy who was kind of. He was a servant for this guy in Egypt. The guy's name was Joseph, but Joseph was serving this guy, and the guy's wife came after him, wanted to have an affair with him, and Joseph pushed her away. And because of that, Joseph got unjustly thrown in jail. You were justly thrown in jail, right?
Yes.
And he was unjustly in the sense that he did not do what was said. They said he did. He was thrown in jail. What was the name of that person that Joseph served in Egypt? So if you know that answer, you can call in any time between now and the time we go off air and give me that answer. And you have two tickets. So you have to know the answer, and you have to have a desire to go to Gainesville tomorrow night, 7:30. Doors open at 6:30. Stephen Curtis Chapman and the show Hope. Now, what's interesting about that is the mayor yesterday in Nashville resigned, Jeff, and her name was Megan Berry. And the reason she resigned was she was having an affair with the head of her security detail, or a guy on her security detail, a police officer. And it was funny because when it first came out, there was a scandal that broke about her having an affair, committing adultery, which used to would have been bad. Now that's not bad anymore. And a bunch of people came around and they said, listen, you know what? What she does in her personal life really isn't an issue unless there's been theft or something else going on. And sure enough, guess what? There was theft because they were. It's funny because the head of her security detail was a police officer, or a guy that she was having an affair with was a police officer on a security detail. And he was the only one she took on some trips to Europe and real nice resort areas in the U.S. And she had to have her security there, and she spent money on that, and they ended up finding this money trail. And the bottom line is they resigned because the pressure showed that even though they said we didn't abuse our position, there was no stealing of government funds, they did. And Jeff, you've been in prison with people. You've been outside of prison with very influential people. Does it really matter what our character's like at home, or is it just what it's like out in front of people?
It matters 100% of the time. Everything that you do really matters, and got to realize that God is a witness to everything. So if you commit one little sin, one sin leads to another. Pretty soon, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah, and here's the thing. And I was thinking about it even as they said this, you know, if you're going to not be faithful to your spouse, what are the chances of you not being faithful to the money that you're entrusted to take care of?
Extremely high.
You know, so you can't separate the character in one setting and the character in a public setting. And somehow along the lines, we've said that, hey, you know, what's personal is personal and what's public is public, and it's all tied together, right? We are who you are in private is a reflection of who you are going to be in public. And it may not come out right away, but ultimately, wouldn't you say it comes out?
It
I know you've had to have seen this in your life. So you know, parents, good teaching point for your children, mentors and relationships, you know, and this is why it's important even in ministry. You know, it's more important to me in ministry that when you are up in front of people representing Jesus Christ, or even in witnessing, You know, your life, Billy Graham said this, on a video they showed the other day, that people are looking at your life to basically qualify if what you're saying is believable. Because if you tell people that God's changed your life, but you don't live a changed life, why would they believe that? And I'm sure being in the jailhouse, you saw a lot of people that had, quote, jailhouse conversions that were simply a cry for help, but not really a transformation, correct?
Yeah, that's pretty common.
So when would you see the difference in people? When would you see that it was only for the temporary and not an eternal transformation in somebody's life?
The key is behavior. You know, how does somebody act? You know, what is their focus before Christ and after Christ?
It's always
Christ changes their life. Very different.
That's why in John 3:36, a lot of people quote John 3:16, but John 3:36 says, if you believe, you'll have eternal life. But if you don't obey, you will not see eternal life. And it equates obedience with that faith and trust of believing. So really interesting story there in Nashville. Well, you know, we've been talking about Matthew 11:20 for the last couple of days, how God condemns prideful unbelief. Before you went to prison, Jeff, were you a prideful guy?
Extremely, extremely. That's still a problem with me today, I think.
Well, we all struggle with it, I think, somewhat. But it's kind of unrestrained if you don't have Christ in your life, isn't it?
Totally, totally. You can never achieve all the things that you want to, but you keep on trying to be bigger than you really are.
Yeah, and so tell us a little bit about your story. Just get started. Where did you grow up?
Grew up and was raised in San Francisco Bay Area. Had a good childhood.
Well, I'm sorry. That's part of the problem there, man. You grew up out in San Francisco. My goodness. I didn't know that. I forgot about that about you.
Yeah,
no,
back
I'm
in
just
47.
Kidding.
Back in 47, there wasn't much going on out there at that time.
You know what the best thing about San Francisco was? Clint Eastwood movies. They were yeah. You know, they just showed that had Dirty Harry. Anyway, so you grew up in San Francisco. Believing parents or non-believing parents?
Neither one of my parents had a church focus at all. I think my mother had some Christian Science background on her side, Mary Baker Eddy, but that was it. We just didn't go to the doctor when we got sick.
You didn't go to the doctor, but you didn't go to church either, right?
No, absolutely.
So you had no spiritual influence. Well, when we come back off our break, because we got to go to a break, I want you to share with us, one, what led you, not just from a, what led you to being, from being a good citizen, a good student, whatever, down to this life of crime that ended you up in federal prison. And I'm here with Jeff Andrews. Jeff is with, actually, he's a sponsor. He's one of our sponsors with Mitel, and wrote a book called Desperate Highway. And if you'd like a copy, you can send me an email at doug@swatradio.com. Tells his life story about basically coming to Christ from a life of crime. And it's very, very compelling and a great read for you if you have a chance to minister to people who might be in a penal system, or people who might have had a tough upbringing. But when we come back, we'll get back to Jeff's story. You can send a question for Jeff at ask@swatradio.com, Facebook at SWAT Radio Talk, Twitter at SWAT Radio Talk if you want to communicate that way, or transition to the streaming at www.swatradio.com. We'll be back after the break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. This is Doug McCary. Somebody sent me a text and said it's too easy, and they know the answer, but they can't go to the concert. So if you want the tickets to go to a concert, somebody has sent the answer for you. So call in. If you can go down to Gainesville, down in Gainesville, this concert, it's an intimate evening with Stephen Curtis Chapman. It's not a big band and him singing at a big concert hall. He's in this context of a local church down there. And Steve, I have to tell you, going back in my life, looking at the times I've interacted with, Lori and I went to a concert out in Houston in the Woodlands, and he did this thing about the missionaries that got killed down in Ecuador. And I wanted to go, because it was so moving. I ended up going down to Ecuador, seeing where Jim Elliott and those missionaries got killed. He really has a way of ministering through song and through the stories in between, and I think that's what he's going to do down there. So it's at Abundant Grace Community Church in Gainesville, 12505 Northwest 39th Avenue, Gainesville, Florida, 32606. I really encourage you to go if you're listening and you're down in that area. Or if you want these tickets, I have two tickets to get in. The doors open at 6:30 at 7:30 on Thursday, March 8th. Two tickets for tomorrow night. Call in, you know, the first one who calls them here, I've got the answer here. I'll tell people what it is, because this guy answered it for you. And Cody said it's too hard. So anyway, hey, glad to have you back on SWAT Radio. I'm here with Jeff Andrews, good friend of mine, who is also a SWAT brother, filling in this week for Brad while Brad's out of town. And we're going to be getting into Matthew 11, 20 through 30. But Jeff, you were growing up in San Francisco, not going to church, and really no Christian exposure, right? I mean, you didn't
have... None whatsoever.
All right, and so you just decided to be a criminal, or did it just kind of... So what happened? How did you get off involved in a life of crime?
My dad was pretty successful, traveled a lot, so I didn't see him very often, but he got transferred to New York City, a big job, and so we moved to Madison, New Jersey. So I ultimately graduated from high school in Madison, New Jersey. And then I went to college at Michigan State University, ended up meeting somebody that just inherited $20 million after my second year. So I quit school, and we moved back to California, and got in the bar business, which was not necessarily a good place for me to be as a young man.
Does anything good happen in bars, really?
Not really.
No, I mean, but you can have some good conversations, I guess, sometimes. People are pretty real in bars, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
But so you got in the bar business, and then what happened?
Well, I progressed to become one of the best customers, I guess you could say. So the house tab became my tab, and you know, I pretty much took care of everybody all the time, including myself. So I was well lubricated.
So were you medicating, like self-medding, using alcohol to numb something that was going on, or were you just drinking for the sake of drinking?
I think at that time I was in my early 20s, and I was trying to make something big happen. I was a buyer at Macy's at that time, also full time, and perfume and cosmetics, and I just had great ambition. So I had the ambition to try to start a bigger company, go nationwide. Part of that was a trucking venture, and I took two big risks, and I failed at one of those. One of those got me by the tail, so I made some mistakes.
And so was it did the drinking kind of take the edge off your mistakes a little bit?
Yes, it did.
And I think it does for a lot of people. I think that's how they kind of break into it. But you got into this drinking thing, and then how did you go from buying perfume and working at Macy's to selling things illegally or doing things
illegally? Well, one day I just got this idea I was going to leave my job, so I packed everything up, moved to San Diego, sat on the beach, had a nice bar down there that I found, and pretty much was hiding out. I already committed a couple of things up in the Bay Area that weren't good, so I knew there was going to be they're going to be looking for me. So that began my 10 years as a fugitive, I guess you could say. So
you were down in San Diego, and but the things that you did, were they just kind of like in-house things? Were they like some embezzlement maybe or stuff like
that? Some embezzlement, some bad checks, some financial fictitious financial statements.
So you were just kind of minorly involved with the
raising the, funding.
Yeah.
Raising funding.
Yeah. Yes. So you had toyed around with it and really not gotten caught. Yeah. And so you started having these ideas of grander schemes?
Grander schemes. And then, of course, I did meet some really interesting people at the beach and in the bars, and sort of somewhat got into some other businesses. And those businesses led to bigger crimes. So once again, starting out with something small continues to grow. Mm. Then the first time I got busted was in San Diego, and ended up being transported back up to San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm.
And spent some time in jail and prison up there. That was my first offenses. And when I got out, I lasted on parole about 2 weeks. And I just couldn't quite focus on what they wanted me to do. At that point, I continued to run New York, Hawaii, pretty much everywhere, and continued to meet more interesting people and start more businesses, all of them illegal.
Well, when you hear this statement, tell me what goes through your mind. Sin will always take you farther than you want to go, will keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Would you affirm that?
Absolutely.
Because you lived it, right?
I did.
I mean, you lived it. And so the enemy's very good at drawing us in, and he uses people like pawns on a chessboard, man. He just moves us around, and we think we're doing something, because I'm sure as you were going through this, you were experiencing some fruits of this crime, correct?
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it.
Absolutely.
I mean, you were enjoying some benefits. Were you feeling pretty high on the hog with some of these things you were doing?
Well, also, I felt that I destroyed the practical good side of my life, and I really didn't have any other choice than to become a real bad guy.
Well, you feel almost fatalistic, like you feel beyond repair.
Yeah.
And you know, I want to say something to people that might be listening out there. It's never too late. It's never too late. And it doesn't matter whether you're talking about a relationship that's broken, or whether you're running from the law, whether you've been committing criminal acts, or whether you've just turned your back on God and you feel like he can't take you back. It's never too late until you're in the box. It's never too late until you leave this earth. And so I'm very thankful that God reached out to you. How did that happen? Tell me, you kind of were involved in this, and you met a guy that basically said, hey, you need to turn yourself in. How did that happen?
We were at a trade show. I was a fugitive, living in Virginia Beach, worked for a company down there. I was at a trade show in Richmond. That happened to be about 1980, 81. And basically, this guy I met at a trade show, he wanted to start a business in Richmond, sell the same kind of products that I was representing. And while I was on the run, I always got a job as a technology salesman. So I always had a pretty good cover, business cards, got a driver's license, so forth and so on. So I continued to change my name over and over and over. In fact, Jeffrey Andrews was the name I got out of a phone book in Virginia Beach.
Oh, my God. Jeffrey Andrews. So that's not even your real name.
Not the name I was born with.
Oh, my.
So.
But you've adopted it now.
Well, I had to turn myself in. When he talked me into turning myself in and going straight in 1983, when I did that, I had to legally change my name to Jeff Andrews, go back to using my real Social Security number, and file taxes for 3 years.
So that's the name. That's the year you turned yourself in?
In 83, that's correct.
That was a good year. That's the year I got married to my wife. That was 1983. It was a good year. It's also the year I got commissioned in the Marine Corps. What a great year. You turned yourself in. Probably not so good for you
straight.
At first, though.
I wanted to go straight. I really did, because I was tired of being a fugitive.
Well, but you weren't a believer, right?
I was not. Absolutely not. Didn't even know the name. Didn't know who Jesus was. No idea.
So why in the world would you turn yourself in?
It was a challenge. I had warrants out of something like 32 states, and I wanted to see if I could beat them all, I think, was part of it. At the same time, I really hated my life, so I needed a change. I wanted to do something different, and I had never turned myself in. So this guy said he would stand behind me and keep me employed. So we shook hands on it, and I turned myself in.
Was he a believer?
He was a believer. He was raised in the church.
Wow. He was a believer, and did he stand by you?
He did. bonded me out constantly because I got arrested every day for 6 months.
That's crazy. So you'd get arrested, then he'd bond you out, and you'd get arrested for something else. Bond you out.
Yeah, and we faced those charges all over the country. So I didn't end up getting a lot of time. I ended up having to pay a lot of fines and restitution because we went and faced all those things. And then ultimately the federal government waited till the last minute. They always wait till everything's all over and everything's all paid off. And then they came and grabbed me for fictitious financial statements because my name wasn't Jeff Andrews when I filed those statements in Virginia Beach when I was living there. So I got 3 2s run consecutive or 6 years in the federal penitentiary. So self-committed to that. Once again, I still stayed on that track. Didn't know God, went to prison. But at that point, I was pretty sure that I was never going to be able to get out of it because I'd been in jail many times, 25 arrests, 24 different incarcerations. So I was thinking that was the end of it. So I'd kind of given up. My wife, second wife, left me while I was in there. I didn't have any money. You know, all of a sudden I owed the IRS a lot of money. And I was thinking, I'm just really never going to come back from this. So after 18 months, I was watching these guys go to Bible study out of 2,000 guys. Five guys, six guys, can't remember what it was. But we used to be up in the weight shack watching them all the time, walk by every day, go to the Bible study. Another 60 guys were watching TV in the TV room. And those guys looked weak to me. I mean, and a couple of them had asked me if I wanted to join their Bible study. And, of course, at that time, I weighed about 250 pounds lifting weights every day, and I felt good. I said, I'm good. I don't need it. I'm okay. And most guys would say the same thing. But anyway, one day we saw one of them get hurt walking through the TV room. And I didn't like it. Nobody liked it. And even the guards gave me a nod to do something about it.
So, to go take care of the guy who hurt the guy going to the Bible study.
Which I wanted to do for some time, but now I had a reason. So the next day I went to Bible study with him, but he wasn't there. So I went into the little room where they sat for an hour, prayed. They gave me a little Gideon's Bible. And I'll tell you, I was scared to death of that book. It just absolutely
It's a scary
me.
Book, isn't
That's
it?
It's a scary book. I didn't want it, so I stuck it in my pocket, shirt pocket, listened to the whole thing, asked me to read. I said I didn't know how to read. And anyway, I walked out with that little book in my pocket that afternoon, back to my bunk at about midnight. I was reading another book, pulled it out of my pocket, popped it open to 1 Corinthians 13. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in tongues of men, of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And then at the bottom, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Tears are coming down my face. I know something's going on. I know that this book I'm holding in my hands is absolutely true. And then Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me.
Mm. And it still moves you to this day. Oh. I mean, even as you read it, you're emotionally, it takes you back. Well, listen, when we come back from the break, we're going to go into this passage in Matthew 11 and look at what it means to repent, to have faith like you have. Join us after the break, SWAT Radio. Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. It's Doug McCary and my good buddy Jeff Andrews here from Mitel and also just from a SWAT buddy and from the St. Augustine group. He's down in the St. Augustine SWAT group. Big shout out to those guys. Praying for Tony, our good brother who's in that group. And so thankful for the guys that are down there. We got a good group of guys down there. Well, Jeff, that was powerful. One, I know if you're like me, when I think about my own experiences with God, those rich, meaningful, personal times where you just really sense his presence, when you go back there, it's an emotional experience, isn't it?
It is.
And that's why sometimes I crack up when people trust Christ and they say, well, I don't feel anything. How do you not feel anything? To know, you know, I asked this guy one time, I said, listen, if you were in your car and you backed down your driveway and accidentally ran over a neighbor's child who just happened to be playing back there, not knowing. Would you feel emotion?
Absolutely.
And they said, absolutely, I would. I said, so how in the world could you be responsible for helping put the king of the universe, who was innocent of everything, he never committed any sin, never committed any crime, on the cross, and understand that the reason he did that was for you and not feel anything? You see, I think when you feel emotion, it's the same reason I feel emotion, is that God would redeem somebody like myself. And it's only an entitlement mentality sometimes that could casually go up and say, yeah, I want this. It's thinking that I'm getting this because I'm gaining something, not I'm getting this at the mercy of the one who's given it to me. And I was just thinking about today, we're talking about the terms of the pardon. And Matthew 11, 25 through 30, God pardons us. He pardons those who are humble and have faith in Jesus. We talked yesterday and Monday about him condemning the prideful unbelief. He doesn't condemn anybody because of their immorality. It doesn't matter what you do. He condemns people because of prideful unbelief. And he says in this passage that you know, he wants people to come to him, and he extends his pardon. But Jeff, when you went before the judge, did you dictate your sentence?
No.
You didn't. You mean you didn't lay out to the judge that you had offended our laws and our country? You didn't go to him with demands for how you would be handled?
Absolutely not.
Did you ever see anybody try to do that?
No.
I saw one guy try to do that. He tried to go in and tell the judge he lobbied for work camp after he had stolen millions of dollars, and everybody laughed at him. But I think we do that sometimes with God. We go to God on our terms and think that we can come to him. And we saw yesterday that God wants us to be humble, dependent upon him. It says in James 4:6, he opposes the proud. And in Psalm 127, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, you labor in vain. Unless the Lord is the watchman, you know, you're ridiculous to think you're going to provide security by being the watchman on the wall. It also says that one term is divine revelation. God has to reveal it to you. And, you know, you and I were talking before the program today. You said you started reading 1 Corinthians 13, and it was like God took the blinders off, and for the first time in your life, you understood who Jesus was and that there was love in the world for you, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it was dark. All of a sudden, the lights came on. I could see clearly who he was and what my life was going to look like.
It was a divine revelation. You didn't just perceive it, right? He revealed it.
Oh yeah.
And that was
30 years ago.
Yeah. And you know what? What's so amazing is it says that God knows his sheep, and his sheep hear his voice. And that day you heard his voice. You know, you heard his voice that day is what happened. And I love that passage in John chapter 10, by the way. That's where that is. He goes into detail. I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life. My sheep hear my voice. And when you read that, you experienced God himself telling you what love was. And you received it for yourself. You came to him.
It was a miracle. All my sins were forgiven, and I knew it right there on the spot.
Right there. Because of the cross. And you know, there was a repentant act. So, by the way, if you somebody had texted, if you want to know the number to call in for the tickets, it's 904-401-1413, 904-401-1413, or 844-777-7928 for those Stephen Curtis Chapman down in Gainesville tickets for tomorrow night. Jeff, would you read that passage, by the way, in Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30? Read that passage, or just read that last section, 25 through 30, about Jesus calling people to himself. And then we're going to talk about repentance, faith in Jesus, and surrender, what that really means and what he's talking about there. So read that passage, all right?
At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
My yoke is easy and my burden light. And what that really says there is, for those who are utterly exhausted, he offers us rest. And the term rest is a rest for your soul. It's a salvation rest. And, you know, when the reason I think you still get emotional is because for the first time in your life, you experienced rest that day, didn't you?
I did.
And you know, what I've appreciated about just the interactions that you and I have had, Jeff, is it's been so authentic, so real, that it's continued. And it's 30 years later. And you still love him. You're growing in him. You want to keep growing. You want to keep seeing his kingdom. You're not doing this out of obligation, are you?
He gave me an assignment.
Yeah.
Go tell everybody what I did for you.
That's right. But it's not because you're trying to earn God's favor. Is it?
Can't do that.
No. And so this act of repentance in Acts 2:38, where Peter says, you know, repent and believe. In Acts 17:29, when Paul says, repent, there's a repentance. Well, first of all, we have an understanding of repentance that I think is skewed. For a lot of people, they think repentance means saying, I'm sorry. Jeff, how many people in prison are sorry?
Nobody.
but
they're not guilty, but they're not sorry.
No, they're not. Nobody's ever guilty, right? I mean, but seriously, no. I think let me rephrase the question for you. Are there people in jail who are sorry about their circumstances they're in?
Sure.
Yeah, they're sorry for the consequences they're experiencing,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I think that happens a lot to us in the Christian life. People believe because they feel remorse because of the consequences they're experiencing, that's true repentance. The Bible makes it clear over in, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul distinguishes between a worldly repentance and a godly repentance. And he said godly sorrow always produces true repentance. And what that means is that you recognize that your sin is not just against this offended brother or against somebody here on earth. The difference between King David and King Saul is David realized that his sin was against God Almighty. And when you sin, like Jeff said earlier, whether it's one or whether it's many, you're sinning against the creator of the universe. And when you are truly repentant, you recognize that you're sinning against him, and you turn to him. And that's what it means. The word repent means to turn from your own self-led, self-glorifying life to trusting in him. That you have nothing to bring to God on your own. That's why I love that picture, what he says in that passage. He goes, thank you, Father, for revealing this not to the wise and learned, but to those little children. In one translation, it says babes. And I think of babies. What can babies do? They don't do anything but receive, right?
They come into this world with nothing, but he created them.
He created them, and they do nothing but sit there and receive. And that's what God wants. But sometimes as we grow up in our physical life, you go through teenage years, and what do? You start thinking you're big enough to take care of yourself. One thing you probably saw in your life that a lot of people forget is we can't really control anything, can we, Jeff?
Not really.
We think we do. We have this illusion of control, and then we have a 9/11 moment. We have some kind of earth-shattering diagnosis or some relational breakup or something that causes us to realize we're not in control at all. And we have to depend on God, and that's what he wants us to do. So this repentance means turning from trusting in yourself to him. But then what do we turn to? We turn to Jesus. And it's a faith, and it's not a faith like a mental belief, like I believe that Donald Trump's the president. It's a faith, or I believe that George Washington was president. It's I believe that Jesus is who he said he is, that he did what he said he did, and that I want to have him as my redemption price. I want to have him as my leader. I want to have him as my everything. Jesus is everything. Is he everything to you, Jeff?
Absolutely.
He's everything to me. And if you're listening and he's not everything, if you're adding anything to what he did on the cross, that's offensive. Paul says that anybody who adds anything to it should be accursed, because you can't add. It says it's for by his grace that you're saved. Well, listen, we're going to come back and finish up this after the break. If you want these tickets, they're here. Two tickets to go see Stephen Curtis Chapman on his solo tour down in Gainesville, March 8th at 7:30. That's tomorrow night at Abundant Grace Community Church, 12505 Northwest 39th Avenue, Gainesville, Florida. Shoot me a question if you have a question for Jeff or me at ask@swatradio.com. And you can communicate at Facebook at SWAT Radio Talk or Twitter at SWAT Radio Talk. We'll be back after the break in just a moment.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com. Hey, this is Doug McCary. Welcome back to SWAT Radio with Jeff Andrews. We're talking about Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30, and the terms of our pardon with Christ, the terms of what it means to really be forgiven, to have this pardon. And, you know, I used this the other day in SWAT, and saying, you know, when you're the weaker power, when you're the offending party, you don't go to the stronger power who you've offended and say, okay, let's reconcile, and this is the way we're going to do it. Right, Jeff?
No, you can't do that.
And you laugh, but we do. We try. People try to do that.
I've seen people do it. I've seen the failures. Oh.
Yeah. Well, the Japanese tried to do it in World War II, and it didn't work out too well for them. The thing is that you cannot dictate to the superior power. And that's why I really love using the term surrender rather than commit. You know, we surrender to him. You know, I love, you know, the simplicity of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's such a great verse. It's about just believing in him. But the word believe in that culture did not just mean a mental assent or a mental acknowledgement of fact. It meant, the word means a belief that produces an action. And you said that earlier, that people that truly believe, it produces an action. And that's why it's really important for us when we present the gospel to people to share with them that component. Don't soft pedal it. Oh, you don't have to change anything in your life. It's not that you change anything in your life to believe, but if you believe, it's going to change things in your life, isn't it, Jeff?
Absolutely. Don't apologize for the truth.
No.
Tell the truth.
You tell the truth. You know, I love what John 1 says when it says, to all who believe, to those he gave the right to become children of God. Children of the Almighty God. You're one of his kids. John 10, again, I quoted that verse. He says, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life. My sheep hear my voice. They won't follow another shepherd. They won't follow the false shepherd. They're going to hear my voice. You heard his voice that day, and you responded to him. And I'm so glad you did, because you know what? Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that think they're following Jesus, and they're adding their works to what he did on the cross. And that's offensive. And there's actually people that teach, well, it's not just what he did on the cross. You have to do this. No, you don't do anything to earn your favor. The things that we do, there's this, you know, this combining of this, Jeff, and people have swung to two different extremes on this. There's one extreme that says, well, we don't need to preach that people need to strive to live a holy life. We don't need to preach that people need to be obedient. We just need to focus on grace. And then there's the other group that says, well, we've got to tell, if you know what, if I don't see fruit 100% of the time in your life, if I don't see, so talk a little bit about your own experience of what it was like coming from a non-church background, repenting, having faith in Jesus, and what this surrendering and obedience looked like. He said, tie your yoke to me. Come be yoked to me. My yoke is easy. Was that hard for you to learn what it meant to really follow Jesus?
It was. It was. He basically made it very clear that I could never go back to who I was. And I didn't really understand what that meant. And, of course, when I got out, I began to, I didn't expect to get out, but I was released early, strangely mm-hmm. enough, and I went back to work in the same company and began to go to Bible studies. Mm. Got real involved in some parachurch ministries, one called Needle's Eye Ministries in Richmond, Virginia. And
it's called Needle's Eye?
Needle's Eye. Guess where that came from?
Through the eye of a needle, yep.
Yeah. Chances of that are slim.
Is that the one Buddy's involved with?
Yes, it is.
Tell us about that just a little bit.
Yeah, Buddy Childress formed that ministry, I guess, in the early 70s. He's a graduate of Gordon-Conwell, and so his ministry has been around for more than 40 years now. His focus was pretty much the same thing. He was an insurance salesman, and he was making all the same mistakes everybody else makes when they're out there trying to raise a family and try to keep a job going. And one day, someone he knew, a pastor in the church, basically got a hold of him and led him to Christ. And at that point, he went to seminary. Gordon-Conwell came out, started Needle's Eye Ministries with nothing, absolutely in the basement of a duplex over in Richmond, in Bennington Court. In fact, across the street from there now is where their headquarters is, and they've got their own building. But many, many years of preaching,
yeah.
preaching on the steps of the Capitol, state capitol up in Richmond, Virginia. Now they have about 100 Bible study groups.
So 100 groups?
100 Bible study groups at a needle's eye.
Wow.
And they have president's groups, you know, guys that own companies, that sort of thing. So we had a great number of events. We bring speakers into town. But most importantly, the Bible study. So for 30 years, I've been part of the same Bible study, too. So in fact, I just was with them last Thursday when I was in Richmond. Same guys getting together. Now we're all in our 70s, but everybody's still hanging in there.
That's awesome.
But they love Christ, every one of them.
They're surrendered too, aren't they?
Absolutely, 100%.
You know, in Matthew 28:18, part of the Great Commission, it says, you know, all authority's been given to me. So he's in charge. And it says, go into all the world, you know, make disciples. And it's as you are going is really what it means in the original language. As you're going to do this, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teach them what? Teach them to obey. A lot of people leave out that obey part, and they just say, teach them all that I've commanded. But that obedience is key because it shows this trust. And I tell my kids this, if you trust me, you'll obey me, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And a lot of times when we don't obey or our kids don't obey. They think they know better. And so when we don't obey, a lot of times it's because we choose not to trust.
Obedience is a tough one, because a lot of times he'll ask us to do things that just doesn't seem quite where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I thought I was dying of cancer and heart disease, laying in bed in 2007.
Ooh.
And he said, write the book. Time is short. And I said, wait a minute. I'm dying and you want me to write a book?
That's where
Desperate Highway got started. So,
and tell us a little bit about Desperate Highway. By the way, we have about 5 minutes left. If you want to call in for these two tickets, I've got two tickets to the Stephen Curtis Chapman concert tomorrow night, March 8th, 7:30. Doors open at 6:30. Abundant Grace down in Gainesville, Florida. It's only about 2 hours from here. Or if you're down in that area, Middleburg, it's only about an hour from you. So call in. I've got two tickets down there. But tell us real quick the last part about Desperate Highway. Tell us what that book is about.
The book is a pretty much an uncut version of my life, what it was like when I went through a lot of the things that I went through. And the purpose was, he wanted a book that I could put in prisons. We used to take books and cases of books and put them in prisons, mm-hmm. Bibles, and nobody would touch them. Everybody's afraid to be seen with a Bible in their hand. So those books, we put cases of those in jails and prisons, and they're gone in 5 minutes.
Wow.
So they go to jails and prisons all the time. And hundreds of men that I know of came to Christ because of what's in that book, including my own brother, who was a really bad alcoholic when the book came out in 2009. He hasn't touched a drop since.
Wow.
He was living under a bridge.
And so listen, if you want a copy of that book, you can send an email to Doug@SWATradio.com, and Jeff and I'll get a copy of that book to you. Okay. It is a good read. It's very much a picture of his life.
He's in the Christian bookstore, but it's a good read. It's a good read, and the conversion experience is in the end of it, last chapter.
Yeah, and it's really it's but the gospel's in there, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, the gospel's in there, and so I'm very grateful that you shared it with me. I've given away a copy or two to people, and I will just tell you that if you know somebody struggling with addiction,
that's hopeless.
That's hopeless. It is a good read. And Jeff's just transparent in there. You know, he's transparent about it and everything. Well, you know, as we talk about surrender and obedience, you know, in Ephesians chapter 4, over there, and Paul talks about, you know, being a prisoner of the Lord, which is appropriate. You understand that a little bit, what that means. When he says, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. You know, there's one God, Father of all, who's over all, through all, and in all. And he's telling Paul, saying, listen, live a life worthy of your calling. Can that be any clearer? I mean, that he's talking about the only way, you know, when you're prideful, you don't want to obey. I mean, if you have pride, and remember, dependence, humility is that first term. And just to review them again, dependence and humility, divine revelation, repentance, faith in Jesus Christ, and surrender and obedience. Those are the terms. If you've never allowed those to be part of your understanding of Jesus Christ, can I just challenge you right where you are to repent? Lord, I'm sorry. I've been prideful. I've thought that I could know who you are on my own and my own strength, my own wisdom. Forgive me for that. I don't want to be that way. I want you to lead me. I'm placing my faith in Jesus. And right now, I am yielding the rest of my life to surrender to you. I'm following you. Come in and change my heart. That's all he wants. You can say it in your own words. The bottom line is, he just wants you to reach out to him. Well, Jeff, our time's come to an end. I got two extra tickets for Stephen Curtis Chapman. There's still 1 minute left. You call in before the end of the program, I can get them to you. 2 hours down to Gainesville. Jeff, thanks for being a part. Thanks for being a sponsor. And thanks for loving Jesus. I'm so glad you did.
Thank you,
and Brad will be back tomorrow. Hey, tune in tomorrow. We've got Chap Bettis, who wrote The Disciple Making Parent. Chap Bettis, he's going to be our guest with Brad, and would love to have you join us. Go to Facebook at SWAT Radio Talk, Twitter at SWAT Radio Talk. Big thanks to all our sponsors, Caduceus Consulting, Ace Door and Window, Evolve Bank and Trust, Mitel, and IPC Technologies. Thank you. Thank you for listening to SWAT Radio. Be blessed and hope you have a good evening.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.